Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, dedicated to accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science worldwide. On the web at mathworks.com.
Welcome back. In Uganda, David Kato, a prominent gay rights activist, has been murdered in his home. Some context. Homosexual activity is illegal in Uganda, and you might remember when in 2009 a bill was introduced to impose the death penalty for some homosexual acts. That bill came shortly after three American evangelical Christians held a symposium in Uganda preaching against the evils of homosexuality. The Americans condemned the bill, but gay activists said their words contributed to violence against gays. And more recently, David Kato's picture appeared with others in Uganda's Rolling Stone newspaper under the headline, "Hang Them." He sued and won. The newspaper was ordered to stop publishing the pictures, but witnesses say a man entered his home this week and beat him to death. The BBC's Kevin Mwachiro joins us. He's in Nairobi, Kenya. But Kevin, we know you were just in Uganda before David died, but he's well known. You spoke to many people who knew him?
Yes, I did. I've visited places where I know David Kato did frequent. He was one of the advocacy officers of an organization called Sexual Minorities of Uganda. And I went to a few gay-friendly clubs and bars, as they are known, met people who knew him, and he'd obviously have hung out with them. I also went to an organization that is based in one of the suburbs in Uganda called Icebreakers. And this is an organization that reaches out to members of the gay and lesbian community in Uganda. They provide counseling services. They give them a safe space where they can just interact, where they can collect condoms and just feel at home. These are initiatives that SMUG, the organization that he works with, helps fund. So it feels very surreal now talking about his passing on. And yet not too long ago, I was with friends of his. I was visiting places that he probably frequented and just was able to get a glimpse of what it is to be gay in Uganda.
Well, and tell us about this, because, you know, people are saying, of course, it's a loss to this community, his death, obviously. But it's a little bit of a disconnect because you're talking about his organization and gay-friendly bars, and yet we know homosexuality is illegal in Uganda, and in fact, there have been killings in his neighborhood. So what's that disconnect? If it's illegal, how are they even able to be activists?
One thing I was able to pick up, Robin, was that there is a vibrant underground gay scene. Call them the invisible men and women of Uganda. They may not have the same rights as other countries where people are allowed to marry, where you are allowed to just be who you are openly. But these are individuals, Ugandans. I even met a few people in the slum areas who are saying, you know what, the most important thing our legislators should do is to provide us with water, sanitation. Instead of coming up with bills that outlaw homosexuality, whatever happens in the privacy of my home should remain in the privacy of my home. And this was the kind of world that David Kato and activists in Uganda operated.
Well, he's being described as one of those prominent gay activists in Uganda, but he was well aware, I mean, even though there's some, as you say, sort of acceptance that you're hearing, people more concerned about water, others are violently against homosexuals. And he was apparently talking to someone about security arrangements when his phone was cut off. And as we know, he was attacked and killed. Have other homosexuals been attacked because their pictures were published in this paper?
I encountered a young man who was, if I may say, kicked out of his house for his own safety by his landlord, who told him, listen, I don't want to jeopardize your life or your security, but I also don't want to put my own life at risk. So he was encouraged to leave his home. So he's living in an office right now. There was a young lady who was, we heard, had been directly attacked because of being a lesbian. So the outing of members of the gay and lesbian community by this tabloid magazine, Rolling Stone, forced members of the community to retreat. I understand some people took their profiles off the gay social networking sites. And yet, on the other hand, it was an eye-opener for people who thought they were alone in Uganda and joined some of these social networks. Issues of security were important, not just for David, but for all the others who were outed by this magazine. I understand he had received threats and he had reported that. So as a community, they were vigilant in trying to provide security for themselves.
Well, but the newspaper's editor told Reuters that he condemns the murder. His paper doesn't want gays to be attacked, even though he put Kato's picture under the headline, "Hang Them." And he says, you know, Kato may have been a victim of crime. People are saying maybe it wasn't because he was gay. But also saying, we want the government to hang people who promote homosexuality, not the public to attack them. Boy, that seems like a thin line. That kind of language, how much is that heard?
For members of the gay and lesbian community, that is heard quite a bit. The fact that their names and pictures and even addresses of their homes were out in public puts them at risk. I met an activist who says, you know, it is disheartening to walk around in your own neighborhood and you get plummeted by physical abuse. I mean, verbal abuse, where people see you and say and talk ill of you. There's also the fear of mob justice by anyone who's not happy with your sexuality. So there is that constant threat. It's unfortunate that the editor of the Rolling Stone doesn't see what he's done to the gay community. He's just exposed them to a lot more homophobic sentiment that people are almost convinced that they're doing the world or the country a greater good.
Well, and we mentioned that Christian evangelicals from the U.S. had gone to speak to Ugandans. They've been very defensive about this. And others, Christian evangelicals who have gone to Uganda, the Reverend Rick Warren went to Uganda and compared homosexuals to pedophiles. How much do people in Uganda parrot that back, or is this homegrown hatred?
When I met the editor of this magazine, Rolling Stone, part of the stories that he carried in his newspaper accused members of the gay community of going to recruit people and young youth in high schools into becoming homosexuals, and he wasn't able to substantiate that. So there is a bit of both, where people, out of fear or out of ignorance, choose to believe what they read in magazines or tabloids like Rolling Stone, and also the fact that they are convinced that homosexuality is an African and was brought into the country by either the Arabs going back historically or by Western influence.
That's the BBC's Kevin Wachiro speaking to us from Nairobi, Kenya, about David Kato, who was killed in Uganda. He was a leading gay rights activist there. Kevin, thank you.
No problem, and all the best.
Okay. Tomorrow on Here and Now, the man who wrote the King's Speech and once stuttered himself. That's tomorrow. Latest news is next, Here and Now.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. Hinckley, Allen & Snyder, where partners have been giving clients practical legal advice for over 100 years throughout New England and now including Connecticut, online at haslaw.com. And the Institute of Contemporary Art on the Boston waterfront. Discover the power and beauty of new art and ideas, icaboston.org.